Let's shift now to a topic that will come up early and often in tonight's presidential debate in Boca Raton, Florida, and that is the attack on the U.S. mission in Benghazi that killed the U.S. Ambassador Chris Stevens and three other Americans on September 11th, a little over a month ago.
This is a response to a hateful and offensive video that was widely disseminated throughout the Arab and Muslim world. And
that's U.N. Ambassador Susan Rice speaking the weekend after the attacks. In a pre-fact-check exercise for The Takeaway, Eric Schmidt, terrorism correspondent with our partner, The New York Times, joins us with more information on what Ambassador Rice was relying on in that statement. And for those of you who will be watching the debate tonight, Eric Schmidt carefully broke down what we know and what we still don't know about that attack in Benghazi.
Well, I think what we know now, according to the intelligence agencies, John, is that unlike what Susan Rice initially said and what administration officials said, this wasn't necessarily a spontaneous attack from an angry mob. Yes, there was a mob, but it was a mob of assailants and attackers who the intelligence community now believes organized on very short notice, maybe in just a few hours, in response to some of the protests elsewhere, for instance, in the embassy in Cairo, Egypt, to the anti-Islamic video. This group of maybe 100 to 150 assailants attacked the American diplomatic mission in Benghazi, Libya, killing the ambassador there, Christopher Stevens, as well as three other Americans. The questions now still arise, you know, should there have been more security at the mission in Benghazi? There were five State Department diplomatic security agents and a small handful of Libyan security guards. Was that enough? That's going to be one of the questions tonight, I'm sure, that will be put from Governor Romney to the president. And were there requests for additional security that were denied by the State Department? Our reporting indicates that all the requests were made by the State Department, but they weren't exactly for what the embassy wanted. The embassy wanted, for instance, to extend the mission of a 16-member military team that was in Tripoli. And instead, what happened was in August of this year, those military personalities, most of them were replaced by Libyans. Now, it's a whole other question of whether those guys would ever, any of them would ever been attached to Christopher Stevens when he traveled to Benghazi on September 11th. And it's very unlikely they would have been able to be deployed from Tripoli to Benghazi in time for the attack. Still, there will be questions about that. And finally, there will no doubt be continued questions about the administration shifting explanations for this. Again, it started with Ambassador Rice calling this a spontaneous attack. She has said that this was the result of some unclassified talking points the CIA prepared for her and other senior policymakers that reflected the best information of the time. So when she went out on the Sunday talk shows about 5 days after the attacks, this is what she said. And she did, in addition to reflecting the wisdom at the time that this appeared to be some kind of spontaneous attack, she also did indicate that the intelligence agencies were looking at the fact that there were extremists believed to be involved, possibly even elements of Al-Qaeda. So she did flag that. But what's happened since then, of course, and this is true in most cases like this, as more intelligence come in, the intelligence community reassesses and re-advises their initial assessments. And what they now say that spontaneous probably wasn't right. It was more what they say an opportunistic attack.
How much of this shifting, and that will certainly be the key issue tonight at the debate, how much of this shifting is a kind of fog of war thing that has precedent in your reporting of other crises like this? Or is there any evidence whatsoever of a deliberate cover-up or deliberate withholding on the part of the administration?
No, John, what I found is that this is very typical of this kind of incident, whether it's an air crash or any kind of major incident like that. The initial reporting is almost always at least incomplete, if not flat wrong. What's happened here, though, is that the handling of this by the administration and the various spokesmen was done very poorly. And not reflecting adequately enough this, the possible incompleteness of it. I mean, they did a little bit of that, but I think they didn't necessarily flag for people the fact that this was very, these are initial reports, they very well could have been, will be changed. And so I think the story, I think the handling of this information and the handling, the narrative, I don't think it was done with any malice. I just don't think it was done very well in terms of the clarity. And that's left them open to some valid criticism of why their stories have shifted. But the underlying intelligence, this is what happens. I mean, you have an incident and things change, and the intelligence community tries to reflect that in their assessments. But, of course, you know, the policymakers are the ones who are making the public statements, and they didn't do it very well in this case.
Indeed. Eric Schmidt, terrorism correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. Thanks so much.
You're welcome, John.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.